Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center, Fort Irwin, California. My name is Captain Seth Rivetta, and I will be hosting this podcast today. The Gauntlet brings you best practices from the Army's experts in combined arms operations.
Today, we will be sharing a podcast made by the Scorpion Team, one of our combined arms battalion trainers, called Left of the Bang, a Scorpion Team Desert Dialogue. This mini-series highlights how to best prepare each warfighting function for some of the challenges of the National Training Center.
Today, we are discussing fires. We have Captain Craig Johnson, the former Scorpion, and is now a Wolf. And we also have Sergeant First Class Brady, a teammate of his who is currently with the Scorpion team. So we'll take the time here to introduce them before we begin our questions. So Captain Johnson, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, sir. Captain Craig Johnson. I've currently got 7 rotations here at the National Training Center. I was previously Task Force Fire Support Trainer, and I've now transitioned to the Firing Battery Trainer.
Sergeant First Class Terrence Brady. I am a battalion fire support trainer for the Scorpion team. I currently have 11 rotations under my belt.
This is very unique because I wanted to make sure we have both the officer and as well as the NCO perspective as we discuss fires and we are helping units prepare for their upcoming rotations. So we're going to jump right in. But Captain Johnson, obviously, you know, the battalion FSO, very important position within the battalion. How can a battalion FSO best prepare the battalion fire cell to receive and execute fire mission?
Sir, there's definitely a few things as far as success once that battalion fire support element arrives here at NTC. As far as fire mission processing, digital sustainment training is critical to ensure that the unit can fully provide digital fires from sensor to shooter and really leverage all assigned equipment on the battlefield. So essentially what that looks like, training should progress from the battalion level to the brigade, essentially including all fire support teams, all fire direction centers, and all fire support assets. Really, the end state of that, soldiers will understand the capabilities of their equipment to include how to troubleshoot. The battalion FSC as a group can stress communication systems and validate their pace plan. And really, at the end of the day, that all benefits the ability to provide timely and accurate fire support to the battalion. And just kind of a spoiler alert for those listening, short and long range digital validation exercises are one of the first tasks that battalions conduct upon their arrival here at the National Training Center. So the caveat to that, sir, there is a part two. So outside of the fire mission processing itself, really the way we try to coach success for that battalion FSC within the MCP, strictly creating an environment where the FSO and FSNCO can ensure that the warfighting functions are synchronized between the transition of planning to execution. Kind of a loaded answer, so the additional breakdown of that really primarily exists between movement and maneuver, intel, and fires. So from a planning perspective in regards to MDMP, targeting efforts must be driven by the S2's assessment during that initial IPB process, essentially developing fire support tasks in support of that maneuver plan. So on the Scorpion team, we're referencing, you know, doctrinally one essential fire support task per phase is really what we try to coach towards, but really identifying the tasks per phase to ensure that the maneuver commander's guidance for fires is accomplished. So at the end of the day, regardless of asset allocation or key decisions that must be made, what is the one essential fire support task that unit needs to successfully complete in order to support the maneuver plan? Really outside of that, as far as execution, I believe the clearance of fires battle drill is a great example of the execution aspect. Regardless of how experienced the staff is or how long they've worked together as a group, if everybody understands the responsibility and provides the information required really to help drive decision-making in the main command post, you instantly synchronize, you know, the efforts that are being conducted in that tent. So what that really looks like upon initiation of a fire mission or that clearance of fires battle drill in the MCP, movement and maneuver personnel are going to clear ground with the intent obviously being to prevent fratricide, which is, I think, what we default to when we think of ground clearance. However, a shared understanding is created of where and how friendly forces are arrayed. So you'll typically see the battle captain on the JBCP. You've got possibly the battle NCO on the analog COP. the S3 or possibly the RTO is engaging with Brigade to ensure where adjacent units are located. So really, right off the bat in that initiation of that drill, a shared understanding is either created or updated, you know, if it's been some time since we were tracking. So that's kind of the initiation. Simultaneously to that, Intel immediately determines if the targeting data confirms or denies the enemy course of action. So Battalion obviously spent this planning time. They've anticipated where they think the enemy is going to be. Therefore, it'll amplify the situational awareness on the battlefield by confirming whether or not it's the COA we determined. And then essentially, I mean, that leads to BDA. We can assess capabilities remaining on the enemy side and continue to alter that plan, sir, moving forward. Like I said, kind of a loaded answer there. But overall, if the unit understands the plan, they gain predictability and can be proactive with problem solving during the transition to execution.
Great answer. Moving over, I want to get from the NCO perspective on this. So Sergeant Brady talked about the battalion FSO best preparing the battalion fire cell to receive and execute fire missions. From your experience, I mean, as well as a former FSNCO, just want to get your perspective on preparation. What do you recommend of how to best prepare the battalion fire cell?
So as far as the NCO's perspective, tends to be the fire support NCO or the fire support sergeant that's going to be on the AFATADS. So as long as he understands the fire support plan and he's well-versed in the battle drill, there should be no issues on his part.
What is also, you believe, in your perspective, the best prepared soldiers for operating out here at NTC?
Boils down to the Joint Fire Support Certification Qualification Program. There is a spot in there as far as all the tasks that the battalion FSE needs to be able to accomplish. Usually those take the FIS cert seriously is the ones that have the better FSE.
Outstanding. So moving on then, we always talk about NTC here about the fires fighting products. So Sergeant Brady, what is the best way that we can validate fires fighting products in order to give the commander what he or she needs while fighting?
So first off, fires fighting products, it's user reference. And then two, there's no set format. So what we tend to see here is a hybrid of the different products. At a minimum, you'll usually have the target list worksheet, fire support execution matrix, and overlay. As far as the overlay goes, that's usually the FSO and the FSNCO sharing a battle board. Part that we reiterate is that it's fine that you have the overlay, but it should also be displayed somewhere in an MCP for the COP. As far as the target list worksheet and the FSCM, units utilize what we will call the fire support task matrix. So it highlights the EFSTs, FSTs, targets by phase, and all the other restrictions that go along with it. And that would be the hybrid of the products. So while they don't exactly have the target list worksheet and fire support execution matrix, they have the important information that's covered within all those products.
Great answer. Captain Johnson, anything you want to add?
Sir, as far as what we're seeing, I think at the company command level and the battalion command level, they typically fight off of really a target list worksheet or a TT LODAC. Everyone's kind of stuck in the CAR variant or the fires rehearsal variant of TT LODAC, kind of leading the fight as far as required information. What I will say, and Sergeant Brady touched on it, the fire support task matrix, which most fire supporters may recognize as plot CR as far as in doctrine, it's underutilized as a product in itself, but just for those listening, so it's essentially a one-stop document for fires at the company and battalion level to include, you know, staff or battalion leadership within the MCP trying to drive the fight or balance between the TAC and the TOC configuration. But essentially you have phase breakdowns to include positioning guidance. So you have the mortar locations and the triggers to move, same context as the OP locations. So you know when somebody's supposed to move and where they're supposed to be by phase. So it very much is an instant kind of fill in the blank document as far as the operation, sir. So that would be what we would suggest.
Either way, we always know, I know from the maneuver perspective, here at NTC, we're trying to combine that effort of making sure that the right fighting products, one, are rehearsed and they are given to the commander. The commander has a chance to execute these fighting products prior to them coming out here. Same thing with the maneuver products, same thing with Intel fighting products. So that way when they're here, they're not trying to recreate the wheel. Moving on, so Craig, back to you. What is needed for the company FSO to be effective?
Once again, based on the current trends, I would have to say that success heavily relies on really their ability to process fire missions. So we're thinking time when we discuss that. So how long is it taking, or why is it taking as long as it is? The end state that we try to achieve is accurate and timely, you know, fires downrange. Proper maintenance is where that all begins at the company level. The fire support vehicles must use their digital sensor to shooter capability in order to decrease that overall kill chain or that fire mission processing time. It's really a combination of the maintenance of the BFIST and then the knowledge of the equipment that they are MTO'd. So for example, what we see a lot here, typically heavy M3A3's fire support sensor system, also known as the FS3, is always an issue. So that specifically, in addition to the BFIST, increases lethality through the mounted target location and designation. So that equipment is specifically designed to be on that vehicle for precision munitions and targeting to a certain level of accuracy to, once again, decrease that time of processing. If the system's in op, you're losing a major capability and kind of decreasing the employment options that the commander has available on the battlefield, sir.
One thing that I definitely want to highlight here and I would like to get your perspective on is the battalion FSNCO. From your perspective, what makes an effective battalion FSNCO?
An effective battalion FSNCO, first things first, he has to know everything that is required of the battalion FSO. A while back, we had an instance where the battalion FSNCO had to step up. So he was the one taking over his role in IC fires and then doing all the planning, doing the execution. I would say personnel management is important as well. As the battalion, we tend to allocate the majority of soldiers to the companies, but it's important to have a strong FSC so you're not overwhelmed with tasks in the event that you need to shift positions. You should know the planning portion. He should be effectively integrated into the maneuver as well to be able to synchronize with the other warfighting functions, and should be able to have that trust in his subordinates that they can execute while he supervises the fight.
Outstanding. So, because at any moment, the battalion FSO may have to go to any other obligation, whether it's a rehearsal, meetings at brigade, or higher planning, or just other planning efforts, and that FSNCO needs to pretty much replace that FSO and keep the fight going. And I really appreciate that response. So, gentlemen, as we get close near to the end here of our great podcast here about fires and the warfighting functions and the trends, one area I do want to discuss is about the battalion IC fires rehearsal. Many observations of what we have seen here as well as OCs out here that really want to make sure that units are prepared to execute the battalion IC fires rehearsal upon their arrival. It's more than just about the battalion car and the brigade car, as those are like the biggest highlights that units focus on, but there's other rehearsals. And one in particular is that IC fires rehearsals, because it syncs a lot of the warfighting functions. So, Greg, coming back to you, what trends have you seen from the units here about the battalion IC fires rehearsal?
So as far as trends, sir, regarding IC fires, although we're focusing on the battalion level rehearsal, units do tend to wait on the initial product production of the brigade. We're already kind of eating away at that planning time, so to speak, not to mention physically attending the brigade brief, wherever that may be. That waiting period typically holds up any advancement of planning that the battalion can already be conducting as we wait for brigade's plan, which 9 times out of 10 typically changes anyways, right? So bottom line up front, don't wait on brigade to plan. We can get brigade's products and refine if need be. Overall at the battalion level, sir, it's almost optional at times. I think it's because of just the element of time in itself. So the battalion constantly feels like they don't have enough time. Planning is rushed. Everything's rushed as far as preparation, you know, PCCs, PCIs already. So to insert a mandatory rehearsal with all key leaders is what I think prevents a solid rehearsal based on what we've seen. Either we do one just to check the box because we know it's required for live fire, right? Or something of that nature, but we don't do them in depth. What we coach, the IC fires rehearsal should be conducted prior to the car. That also seems as optional. Are we doing it before? Are we doing it after? We are advocates for you do it prior to the car because you're allowed to hash out any friction with triggers or locations or movement timelines prior to going into the car, which is obviously combined arms, right? So we can kind of put out any fires that exist in that initial rehearsal if we do it prior. That way, once we arrive at the car, all leadership is present. We're not wasting anybody's time. We've already hashed out what we needed to hash out. So that's kind of number one, do it before the car. The second piece in that is the audience. It's hard enough to get the battalion commander's time to participate in it, the S3, the S2, basically your warfighting function representatives, to include the company commanders, who at the end of the day are responsible for the primary target that they're assigned, right, for observation. Max participation, if the battalion commander cannot be there, that's fine, but there does need to be some sort of silent agreement with a strong maneuver rep that knows the plan, a true intel assessment of what we think is going to happen. That way, when we walk away, hey, the trigger's accurate as far as time. That works for everybody here, as opposed to company commander saying, hey, that there's no way my support by fire is going to be established at that time. Therefore, we have to go back to square one. So that alleviates a lot of the scrambling post-rehearsal, if you will, which leads to last-minute product. Those are kind of the big ones. And I'll emphasize one more time, it's really an opportunity for the battalion as a whole to include those at the company level who are fighting the fight to ensure that technical and tactical triggers are timely and they work or may need to be adjusted, and essentially in support of that maneuver tempo.
Craig, thank you very much for that great insight about the IC5's rehearsals. I definitely want to get the NCO perspective here before we depart. Sergeant Brady, do you have anything you want to add?
The trends for the IC5's rehearsal at the battalion echelon, as Captain Johnson stated, time is definitely an issue, so we tend to cut corners. And what the battalion IC5's rehearsal end up being is more of a back brief to where it's the FSO just telling the company fire support teams what the targets are, as opposed to putting the same amount of emphasis that was put on the brigade IC fires to have your FSOs out front on the map explaining their positions, explaining their times. Give that back brief, give that last check that, hey, we understand the plan. During force on force, once again, the emphasis isn't really put on, but during force on force under live fire conditions, that's when we step in and make sure that it's done to standard and they walk away doing the right thing.
Okay, guys. Hey, so we're getting ready to wrap up here. That was great insights for both of you guys, and I really appreciate this opportunity today because fires is definitely a top priority of all maneuver battalions when they come out here in order to execute that combined effort of combined arms as we're trying to help them train under a LISCO environment. Before we leave, we want to make sure that the units will have references of where to go to. Let us know what doctrine should the battalion leadership and several of the FSOs should reference to help give the FSO guidance, as well as what the FSO can use in order to get after these trends, what we talked about.
Yeah, so that's a big one, sir. What we want to avoid is, you know, an op order, whatever production is essentially following mission analysis. We want to avoid, hey, just do fires things, right? That guidance is too generic. So whether it's the S3 as the heavy planner or the staff as a whole truly understanding the commander's intent and guidance for fires, it has to be specific. It really should be the size and disposition of a specific enemy formation that we want to attack on the battlefield and when, as far as time and space. So FM3-0 is a great reference when it comes to fires as a warfighting function. The biggest one we push for is FM3-09, and that's really referencing those EFSTs and the fire support tasks, along with ATP3-09.42, and that's your overarching fire support for the brigade combat team as a whole.
I really want to thank everybody here. Thank my two esteemed colleagues, Captain Craig Johnson and Sergeant First Class Terrence Brady, for joining us today.
As always, our observer coach trainers are here to assist units. I invite you to look at our Mill Suite page for the latest products from Operations Group and subscribe to Operations Group Tech Talks on YouTube for short lessons learned on successful techniques. Thank you for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, the Gauntlet, the podcast of Operations Group at the National Training Center.